spoke last. Prabhupada was describing the futility of building a life outside the land of Israel, mostly because of what happens at the end is that we end up losing all our money, losing all our property, and somebody else steals it from us and uses it for their own benefit. And he was speaking in the context of the obvious response of the Nazis, and that's exactly what happened to pretty much all the Jewish property across Europe. As they conquered it, the Jews were kicked out of their homes. The non-Jews took their homes, took their property, took their companies, took their factories, and used it to fund the war effort against the Jews. And so there's not a small amount of bitterness in that. So today we're gonna finish up this theme that he developed, and then he's going to tell an unbelievably moving and powerful story about why he named the book Em HaBanim Simecha. So we're on page Mem Bet, at the beginning of the paragraph, Mem Bet on the top. It starts, Od Zod Matzati B'Sefer Hon Yashir. I also found this in the book Hon Ashir. I don't know if you have it, if you can find it in English. Follow along. Od Zod Matzati B'Sefer Hon Ashir. The Rabbeinu Baal Mishnat Chasidim. So the author of the book Mishnat Chasidim also wrote a book called Hon Ashir. Shekatav Ala Mishnah D'Sof Sota V'Hagalil Yecharev. It says, at the end of Sota, the Galil will be destroyed. B'Zeh HaLashon. This is what it means. Yecharev mibati. It will be destroyed from homes totally. Kedichtiv v'arichem yihyu charba. Your city shall be desolated. Decimated. Desolate, right? Destroyed. V'kasher zakeni Hashem la'alot la'eretz Yisrael po b'tzvat. Tibaneh v'something b'mehera b'yameinu. He says, when I got to Tzvat, shehu eretz ha'galil, b'shnat taf ayin chet. Now we are taf shin ayin aleph. So taf ayin chet is almost 190 years ago, right?
1718.
1718. My eyes saw. How in our great sinfulness, this is what it was. Kikalu male batim charevot. It was full of destroyed houses. Aval, in Genesis 1718. Tehila le'el, praise be the Lord. Samachti ki ra'iti b'shtei shanim shinit akavti sham, the 2 years that I was there. Shemidei yom v'yom bonim otam. Every day they're building another house. They're building another house, another Jewish house, in 1718. 1718 or 1718? 18. And I say, this is the sign of the redemption. Speedily in our days. This is like a very deep idea. He says, if the land of Israel was indeed desolate, where would we put all of the ingathering of the exiles? So what does God have to do? He has to engineer it in such a way that it's a process, that the land of Israel is built up in such a way that it can handle the ingathering of the exiles. We found this in the original Bia, the original coming into the land. Shamu Razal, the rabbi said, Akav HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Yisrael b'midbar 40 shana. Right, why did God really, why did God keep us in the desert for 40 years? He kept us in the desert for 40 years because we sinned. So the Midrash tries to find all kinds of other interesting reasons why he kept us in the desert. He said the reason is, Kadesh Shebemeshech Otozman, Tachzor Haaretz Le'etana, Me'ilanot, Ubinyanim Sharsu Ve'akura Marim, Be'itzach Mitzrayim. Right, so when the exodus from Egypt happened, the MO writes, they took the Russian-Napoleon battling policy. Anybody knows to what I refer? It's called the scorched earth policy. Just keep going deeper and deeper into Russia, and sooner or later the Napoleonic French armies will starve to death. Which is exactly what Russia did effectively, destroying Napoleon's army. So the Amorim did the same thing. They heard the Jews got out of Egypt. So what did they do? Scorched earth policy. They destroyed the land of Israel. Kisvarim hayu, shikansu laris. Yeah, they thought that they would get into Israel immediately. Kadesh yimsu oto charba. They would hope the Jews would find it desolate. Umishichazra ha'aretz la'itana hichnisam la'aretz. And when the land returned to its glory, then God moved them into the land of Israel. By the way, you should just know that this is also in the Psukim. Anybody know where it appears in the Psukim? Right, why did God, it says, God will not, kick out the land, the nations of Israel that are in the land. I told you I don't want that. Nations that are in the land quickly, right? It says, Pen tirbe alechem chayat hasadeh. Are you familiar with that in the Psukim? Why? It's a very strange pasuk. So that the wild animals don't overtake you. Like, you know, they couldn't defend themselves in the wild animals. It's very strange. nonetheless, it seems like this is an idea, a theme. That if you say that the redemption has to be in a natural way, you got to find a way to prepare the land. And we'll finish the theme and then we'll let's say it to our days. And God willing, it will be this way and the Mashiach comes in our day. It will be revealed in this land. So that's what he says. He says, in our day, when he was writing, right, you know, 200 and whatever years ago, God willing, Be'ezrat Hashem, this is the way it should be. That, you know, little by little, la'at la'at, it's a process, and that's how the redemption comes. V'amani mishtomeim al mitziyazin. He says, I couldn't believe when I found this incredible passage. Ki ra'iti ba ke'in tshuva min ha-shamayim al ha-she'ela she'itakti b'dorosh v'reinu. Ad matai ha-keitz ha-pla'ot Hashem yitbarach ma'akev al-nagala. He says, I asked, remember that question I asked at the very beginning, where I'm paid, you're in English or Hebrew? Okay, I don't know where you are. Right, so he says, remember that question I asked, when, how long is this going to take? When is the Mashiach going to come? He says, Ad binyana shel Eretz Yisrael, ki divrei HaKadosh ana, shehaya ba'al ruach HaKodesh. He says, you know when Mashiach is going to really come? When Eretz Yisrael is built up enough to house all the Jews, that's when Mashiach is going to come. V'hayalo midargat galui Eliyahu.
I'm sorry, who said that? That was said by...
That's why Rav Teichtal is using the Mishnat Chassidim. Who was the author of the Mishnat Chassidim? Don't remember. Okay. To explain that this is when Mashiach is going to come. That's a process. And that's how I understand that. Why is it taking so long? Because God needs time to let the land be built up in order to house all these people. Okay? Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim wrote about these Mishnas Chassidim. Zeh Lashono. Ra'uy Mishnat Chassidim Lismoch Alav. This Mishnas Chassidim is, you can rely on him. Ubefrad Yadua Shedivrei Mishnat Chassidim Hu Mi'ari B'Talmidav. Since we all know that the Mishnas Chassidim is from the students of the Ari, does it say who he is in the footnotes? Do you have a footnote that says who the Mishnas Chassidim is? Okay. O Midivrei Gedulei Mekubalim Arishonim B'Birur B'Lo Gtaut. Which is, you know, the Gadol of the Mekubalim, of the Kabbalists. Lechein al yazuz mitvarav asher yadon't deviate from his words asher yadua shekol dvarav hema kesolet birura umimenu ein lahasir. It's like pure flour that we should not deviate from the words of the Mishnah Chassidim. So if he says it, it must be true. V'day lanu be'edutel shabavenu akadosh mitzanz al gulato. The Tzanz of Rebbe said he's in a great gadol. And getting a flavor for Rav Teichtel's, like, who he values. He's like, oh, the Mishnah Chassidim said it, and don't just trust me that the Mishnah Chassidim is worthwhile. The Tzanz of Rebbe said the Mishnah Chassidim is like a gadol and a mekubal. Oh, the Tzanz of Rebbe said it, you know. For sure it's true. Okay. She called the Rebbe because of the Brumin. And let's say, V'alo hu katab befeirush. And he said explicitly, Sheko yeh b'biyat mashicheinu shiyavo b'imhir b'yameinu amein, that this is how it's going to be. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yamtinim ha-ge'ula ad binyan arteinu b'batim u'b'ilanot. Until the land is built up, trees and houses, when it's built up, how do you know that this is a sign of redemption? He says explicitly, when Eretz Yisrael is built up in such a way that it's inhabitable, there is no greater sign for Geula.
So there's no other time in history after an exile,
right,
where Eretz Yisrael is built up again?
Correct. I mean, really? Since, no. There was first exile, second exile, since 70, who built it up? I mean, the whole...
Between 586.
586, yeah, then they built it up. There was
by, so they built it up.
There was Bayit Sheni, sure. Ezra came back.
Since
Bayit Sheni, since 70. 60, like, since 70. Did anybody really come? Was anybody really successful? I mean, you had the Muslims came.
No, were they really successful?
Nobody was really successful in making it inhabitable. They said that's one of the miracles of Israel, that nobody could pull it off. And whenever somebody got close, so what happened? Another group came in and fought over it and destroyed it. So nobody ever really was ever really successful until this now. I mean, you know.
But what he's saying is you can't come until it's ready.
And when it's ready, yeah. And then he's saying, when it's ready, what's he saying?
Then you need to go, and now it's time that it's becoming ready. But it's not saying that you must get active and go and make it ready.
Yes, he is.
He did last week.
Yeah.
No, each time no one's making a specific, you have to go and prepare it. Everyone is making the same statement. When it is prepared and ready, the whole, everyone has to come.
No, I think he's saying, but how do you know that this is the time of the Geula, the redemption?
He's just saying, now it's happening.
You look at it and you say, this is the time of the redemption. I mean. Yeah.
But he's not saying, get up and do it and we can, you know.
This is going to sound really weird. You know my favorite thing about this country that makes me really feel like this country is moving in a good direction? Kvish Shesh. I love Kvish Shesh. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a silly thing, but the country's a serious country when you have a thoroughfare where you can get from one place to another. You know what I'm saying? You transport goods. You know? I
pay goodly sums to do it.
What?
And pay goodly sums to do it.
Much less than New York. I'll put it that way. You know what I'm saying? That's true. It costs money. But I don't know. It's like, did you get the map? Did you get McCormick's shown? McCormick's shown, they have this map. I don't know, whatever reason, they printed a map of Kvish Shesh. It's going to go from the top of the country to the bottom of the country, you know, which is what's supposed to be. But that means that we're I don't know, like people have this vision that Israel is this country that it was 30 years ago. I know, you didn't say it is.
No, it's not. It's long not.
Right. It's not at all.
It's much not.
But that tells you something that, you know, that's what he says. He says, how do you know that this is the time of Geula? You know, because when the land of Israel is built up in a significant way, you know, can we handle more immigrants now? Probably could. You know?
Not in Yabidimi.
What?
Not in
Yabidimi.
There's plenty of space in this country.
Talk to the Russian ones. This, I mean.
Drive, there's open space.
Right.
Yeah. Or you need some fuels.
And whatever. The real estate would go up. You know what I'm saying? So I find this a very, very personally moving. Very, very moving passage. The Gemara says this, that, you know, when the fields grow and they're like, I tell my wife, this is my favorite time of year. Like, you drive around now, especially during the day, everything's green. It's just gorgeous. It's beautiful, you know, like, you know, the wheat is starting to grow. And that's what he says. The Gemara says in Ketubot that when you see the produce of Eretz Yisrael returning to its own nature, and the Chasiman Gula, you know, that's better than that. And that goes for roads and it goes for trains and, you know, with all the problems that go on here. I wrote a blog post today, you know, like, did you read the thing about the Stuxnet virus that they're finding out about?
Yeah,
really. It's unbelievable. You know what I mean? And like, you know, what?
There's another one.
No, the original one. They're still finding out that, like, nobody will talk about it, but when they talk to Israelis about it, they just kind of, like, smile knowingly and say, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? You know, I just say we criticize all the time, but it's an amazing thing. It's an incredible thing that the country is able to accomplish. That's what he says. Eretz Yisrael is building, is growing. Right. So then the question obviously is, and the question in your mind is, okay, if we're there, if we're at that stage, then when's it going to come? I can't answer that. He was sure.
This is in 1942?
Yeah.
70 years later.
Yeah. Okay. I'd
be very interested to know what he...
Well, he was sure. I get a sense just from reading.
He thought it was 70 years ago. I mean, changed a lot in 70 years.
Yeah. I mean, the question, what would he have said about it in his time? He'll tell you in a second. He was sure that when Israel's ready, is built, then the Geula would come, Mashiach is going to come. So I think if he would have come today and see Israel, on the one hand, he would have been... amazed and excited, of course, but also kind of disappointed. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he predicted so many correct things, when it's in some other ways, he's like, okay, where's Mashiach? How come Mashiach isn't here? What happened? It's a good question. Okay, let's read on a little bit. Okay. Yesh v'hakir bo siman to l'gula. Ki heim dvarim shorosh ha-mekubalim ha-achronim. This is the words of the head of the Mekubalim. Asher kol dvarab b'ruach ha-kodesh ne'emu ka'amor. It was said in Ruach ha-kodesh. In the Holy Spirit, Uman Safin, Uman Yahir Bizmanenu Lachlovala. Who would be so haughty, who would be so brazen as to dispute the great Mishnas Chasidim? Of course, I probably should know what his name was. Uke 8. Biyaminu Vishanim Achronot. In our days, he says, in the past few years, Shebe'emet Nivnech Chilek Gadol Me'aretz B'midah Gdola. That a great portion of the land has been built. V'naase Be'emet Le'aretz Poriyah, it's become kind of fruitful land. Maybe this is a sign of the redemption. The Alkain, therefore, Tuva Yesh Lafli, we should be wondrous. You should be like a pele, a wonder. It seems like strange that the Charedim should argue about this and be against it. והדבר כמעט משוקץ ומתואב בעיניהם. That the idea of Eretz Yisrael is משוקץ. What's a שקץ? What's a תואבה? It's like an abomination in their eyes. And that's an accurate description of how they view the land of Israel. It's a little strange. I'm telling you, this is what it is. Shuhumitzad haklipa shaguveret alehem la'akev badavar. It's the klipa. Remember what the klipa was? What's that a euphemism for?
Shell.
Shell is it, but it's a euphemism for or that. What? Yeah. The Yetzirah. Right. The Yetzirah is overtaking them. Yanshi.
It's not that they hate the land. They hate the current. What's the word? For or whatever. They don't have a hatred for.
They were rabidly against. Actively settling the land of Israel. They were against moving to it.
Right, but it's
they
not,
were only in favor of supporting
the way
very specific people
it
in it.
Was specifically against
I don't know,
the
if
land.
You're against settling the land, and you're against anybody who's in favor of settling the land, and you're fighting against developing the land, at some point you've got to say...
If you'd rather have a non-Jewish government as opposed to Jewish government.
Well, but maybe
yeah, you'd rather not have Jews.
Maybe the Yetzirah is, I have to be against the state of Israel, because if I'm not, then I have to be there. I'm very comfortable where I am.
Ooh, but he said that.
Right.
No, but he didn't say that's the Yetzer. He said the Yetzer Hara, he says, the Yetzer Hara knows, he says, one second. He says, the Yetzer Hara knows, Shebibiyan Hara is yes so far, he's dead. Osho mitzad is a Nigiyah, Yeshla Sharpo, that's exactly what you said, because he's got a Nigiyah, like a personal interest. Adar Shayala Miraglim, Kasher Zacharti Lamala. So he says, I mean, it's a really, I often like when you look back at his ideas as they develop, it's very interesting. He says, how do the rabbis have it? It's the Yetzirah. Their Yetzirah is because they're going to lose control. That Yetzirah sort of develops then, it trickles down to the people, not in that sense they're going to lose control, but what are they going to lose? What are they afraid of losing? They're afraid of losing their property and their money. And that money, in the end, it's ridiculous, because if you think about it intellectually, what value is your money in Chutz La'aretz? What's it going to happen? What's it going to do for you? It's going to do nothing for you. They're going to get it in the end anyway. So he brings us back to this idea, and therefore you should come back to Eretz Yisrael anyway, because it's all Yetzirah in the long run.
Maybe that's why the dollar's falling.
You know, yeah, right.
What's your money really worth in the real term in a lot of Torah writings? If any chutznikim, any Israeli writings of pure Torah, they say we're in a corridor before the real world or whatever else, your property's worth nothing.
Right.
So why would a Hasidic writer be saying people are cleaving to their property in Chutz La'aretz and don't want to come and give?
That would make a lot of sense, because that's the Yetzirah. Meaning, it's perfectly sensible. The whole idea of cleaving to your money, abandoning, you know, your cleaving to your materialism in Chutz La'aretz as opposed to coming to Eretz Yisrael. I mean,
but he's writing this.
It's apparently true. We talked about this last week. It's not like really up for debate.
Eastern European is not how many Cadillacs you've got and whatever else.
Really?
As far as I understood of the...
Not everybody was dirt poor.
20s to 40s in Eastern Europe.
I'm sure there was somebody that was respected because he was rich.
And of course.
He was
historically, there's always been. There's always been a rich man that has...
I think our perspective is a little warped. First of all, whatever you have. You know what I'm saying? If you're the baker, if you're the whatever, you're eking by a living, how am I going to make it there? Does that sound so strange? You know, like, we say it now, and think about back then. And people, I think they're... It's not as crazy as you think. Like, if you ever talk to people who lived there, like if you ever knew survivors who lived there, like there were people who were of important families, even in Eastern Europe, or they had a farm, they lived in the shtetl, they had a business, or they had a whatever. People lived there. They weren't all dirt poor peasants. You know what I'm saying? And to give that up is a hard thing. What are you going to do in Israel when you get to Eretz Yisrael? No. So it's very hard to play prophet. You know, I'm not bullish on the American Jewish community in the long run. I'll put it that way.
Coming.
No. Surviving. In the long run. But the question is, obviously,
what's the long run?
I mean, you just have to ask yourself, like, name another major Jewish community in the exile that still exists. Survive. And that wasn't the subject of terrible persecution. Can you name one? And probably at pretty much every juncture in history, they thought that they were the most advanced and most open-minded and most, you know, secure Jewish community that ever lived. Babylonia, that's great. Spain, great. Germany, fantastic. So, I mean, so we're living in the good period. Nobody ever thinks that the bad is going to come. You know, I think that, I don't know, deep down, was that a factor for any of you? You know, was that a factor for any of you?
I do have a friend who about 8 years ago in New York City, we're living together. He's like, I'm out of here. Time has come. That's it. He just picked up.
See, I'm not afraid for the immediate future. But let's say you think it's going to happen in 40 years. So in 40 years, who's, let's say 50 years, 70 years, you're gone. Who's going to be there? All your grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to be there. Does that really help you? You know, like I think about like when Hashem said to Avraham Avinu at Brit Ben Bitarim, he says, I want you to know, right, you know, that your children will be, you know, Avadim, like Eretz Lo Lahem, Ba'avadum Ba'inu Otam Ba'arba Me'od Shana. Right, it's going to be really terrible. He says, but don't worry, you'll die B'seivat Tovah. Like, I often wonder, how did Avram feel about that? Like, does that make him feel better knowing, like, your life will be great, but your children's children? Hell on earth. You know, I wonder. I don't know. Nobody, that didn't factor into anybody else.
America.
I love America, too. You think it'll stay that way?
There's challenges.
You can say yeah.
No, he's off time, definitely.
What?
For your lifetime, definitely.
Your lifetime, definitely.
Definitely is a stretch.
What?
Definitely is a stretch.
I don't know. I really, I don't know. Because what's so scary is, the example I like to give is a problem. I once went to an APAC conference. Anybody ever been to an APAC conference? I'm a big APAC supporter. When I was in America, I was an even bigger APAC supporter. And the reason is because APAC does incredible work to support the state of Israel. It's just amazing, amazing work. I mean, there's nothing like being in a room of 5,000 people filled with more than half of the Congress and the Senate of the United States of America in support of Israel. This is very, very impressive. But the thing that struck me most about being in that room was that politicians vote by putting their finger to the wind. I mean, the reason they support Israel is because they perceive that their supporters want Israel to be supported.
So we need Jews in America.
There's plenty of Jews in America. Don't worry. Whatever. You understand what I'm saying? But you got a sense that as quickly as that support exists, just as quickly it could evaporate.
Look at the flotilla. It didn't happen in America.
What's that?
The flotilla exposed.
Right.
But then that's Shane's argument. It didn't happen because there's a core mass who will stop politicians doing it.
No, but that's never been on volume, that's been on info.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's easier, especially with the quick communication and the way the world goes so fast, so much faster than it ever used to. I think that security, the relative security that we have, you know what I'm saying? Things could change so quickly, you would never know it. You know, before you could even do anything about it. It's not like you could see it a year down the road.
So
it changed in 2 weeks.
So the alternative is that all Jews are here.
Yeah.
Now, assuming Mashiach comes, great. If that's not the current plan,
we're all here.
We're all here and nobody else is here. And nobody else is anywhere else in the world. The world turns on us.
Who cares?
Where is your target?
Who cares?
If you're
here. I'm here. But
if we're all here.
We all said it, you know.
See, at some point, God has to come into the picture. You know what I'm saying? So either you believe that there's a role for the Ribono Shel Olam in the world, and he wants us to be here. Like, as long as you say, I don't understand the logic, well, we need Jews in America in order to protect. God's probably wants us here. So you're saying, I need to protect I'm doing my role by supporting APAC, by being a, you know, United States citizen, supporting Israel. That's all nice and good. But God said, as much as he appreciates you doing all that great work in America, he'd really much rather you be here. So you're going to say, no, God,
I know.
I'm good. I got your back. You know what I'm saying? I understand the logic, but it doesn't really make so much sense. And the reason I'm here is because I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be here. And if I believe that, then I believe that we have a relationship with him, and when push comes to shove, right, it could get very bad, but sooner or later he's going to step in. Actually, if you read the Nevi'im, it's going to get really, really bad, which is kind of frightening. But don't read the Haftarah so carefully. That's not just Torah. It's a little frightening. Okay? But nonetheless, this is what's in our destiny. That's where we're supposed to be. That's what you're going to do. Okay. Akapanim her eti ledat. I'm telling you all, my brothers in Israel, now is the time. And if it was then, certainly now. With all of our ability, to leave the land of the nations, to return to our holy land, to immerse ourselves in its building, the greatest thing you can do to bring Mashiach, as important as it is to call your senator and congressman and develop a relationship with him or her, right? More important to raise your children here, become a computer programmer here, build another company, you know, send your children to school, build the land of Israel, build another house, all those things that are critical in order to have a viable country. The Mashiach will come. When? Not really sure. He, now that we were switching, I'm going to read an, he switched to an incredible story. Why did he call the book Eim HaBanim Smecha? He says, like, V'karati et Hashem HaSefer Eim HaBanim Smecha Al Piha Yushalmi Brachot. Yushalmi Brachot Mechane et Eretz Yisrael B'Shem Eim Di Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the mother of Israel. V'Artzot HaGola B'Shem Eim Choreget. Right? It's a Eim Choreget means it's a foster mother. Okay? It's a caring mother, Ayin Sham. So it's a very interesting question. Like, the idea is the land of Israel is like our mother. Right? And when we're not, it's almost like, and when we're not in our land, so then there's a yearning. The mother misses her children. It's like you're living with somebody else. You're not there. V'yadur ma'amar chazal, and it's well known, the idea of chazal, the staying of chazal, the imenu tzion bochit u'miyalelet aleinu. Our mother in Sion cries, she wails for us when we're in the Gola. She waits for us to return to her bosom. You either recognize that word miyalelet? You know the word miyalelet? Anybody know what mother was miyalelet? No? Miyalelet wails, and by the way, there's a halacha that based from this. Miyalelet, the mother of Sisera, wailed. Right, that's a very interesting phrase. And right then, she wailed when Sisera didn't come home. Right? So that was actually this week's Haftarah. As we all know, she Haftarah. No, right? You know, she's like, when's my son coming home? And you know what halacha is based on that? Well, what's based on the mother of Sisera? Anybody know? Tkiyat shofar, the wailing of the shofar, that's supposed to be cries, is based upon the wailing of Sisera's mother. Okay. Umivsari achaz, umivasre achuza elok. Kasher, can you translate that phrase for me? I'm not entirely sure how to translate that. It's a quote from Iyov. Umubasrei.
From my flesh, I see God.
From my flesh, I see God. Kasher Vishnat Tavshin Bet. Okay, in the year 1942, Kodem Pesach. Yatza Hagzeira Ayuma Beminina Slovakia, Aide Rishayim Arurim. Right? There was a decree, a Nazi decree. Lachtof Bitulot Yisrael Mgil Sheshase Ulamala to grab, to inter any Jewish girl 16 years older or old, 16 years or above, ulavilam la'eretz gzeira makom lo nada, then to transport them to God knows where. Kasher ad hayom lo nada ma'asa ma na'asa im alafim neshamot torot miyisrael shovilu shama. Right, why would they take young Jewish girls? We can only imagine. Hashem, nobody knows whatever happened to them when they're gone. Hashem yinkom nikmatenu mehem bimheira. God should avenge them quickly. There was a great confusion. They're on Slovakia, right? There's this decree and there's terrible confusion. Anybody with a daughter, anybody with a young woman, anybody of a certain age, terrible confusion. Says there was a certain person who wanted to save his daughters that they shouldn't fall prey to this terrible decree. So what did he do? He tried to cross the border with his daughters. V'az haya b'cholamoid Pesach. What's on cholamoid? V'hivtiach l'ishto shishlach hoda'a telegrafit me'ever ha'gvul shehu im yiladav higiyu nachon l'makom chavtzam. So they had a plan, and they were going to go over the border, and he said that when he would get to his destination, he would send a telegraph to the wife that they had arrived safely. V'ha'em yashva b'veita be'inayim kalot. V'tzofot al et bab saran ima. So this mother, she sent them away. You can imagine the... You can't imagine. It's impossible to imagine the pressure. She sends the children away. She sends the husband with the daughters. They're going to cross over the border in secret. And she's got to wait to hear what happened. Shavru agvu b'shalom v'higiyu l'makom batuach. And she has to wait to hear that they got there peacefully. Aval ha'maseh haya shetafsu et ha'av im benotav o terem avur tagvul. But what happened was, the father and the daughters were caught before they passed over the border. And they brought them to the closest city to the border and they put them in prison. And they were in prison all Pesach, all of the last days of Pesach. What's an Eretz Gzeirah? The land of decree. They were in constant danger to be sent to what?
Hell.
Hell, a concentration camp. They were. What was the punishment for fleeing? What was the punishment for falling below? They'll send you to the concentration camp. They'll get rid of you. Kimisha osep pleita v'nitfas. Whoever tries to escape and is caught, nishlach l'eretz gzeira ba'ofen achzari od yoter mishan shalchin l'shama. Right? It's even more immediate that they're sent away to the concentration camp than the normal person. Right? That's the rule. You're caught, you're gone. Ubeintayim. So the mother heard, she found out that the father and the daughters were caught. That's what she found out. Just try to imagine this bitter feeling that overtook her. So her joy that they were going to escape, meaning, you could imagine, the decree came out. Total mass confusion. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I've got a plan. Great. There's hope. She sends them away. She's davening. You can just imagine. She's davening. She finds out the news. They were caught near the border. They never got over the border. Where are they? They're in prison. I mean, what happens to a person? What happens to a Jew in Slovakia in 1942 who's caught and sent to prison? There's no, like, something to think about. She became a widow right away. Her husband and her daughters. She spent the last days of Yom Tov. She spent the last days of Yom Tov just crying. And the world is dark. And it's impossible to describe in words her sad situation. From the moment when she found out what happened to her daughters and her daughter and her husband, she knows what's waiting for them. Biram, however, zachor oto ha'ish v'tov. I got to mention this person for the good. Harav Hagon, tzadik ha'i oved Hashem b'zivud nevesh mamash b'melo muvan amila. This guy who's a mamash, a gadol, a tzadik, or whatever. Ma gam be'et hatzok hazeh in this terrible time. She shlich nafsho mi neged b'sikun atzmo. He endangered himself. Harav Hagon Hachasid Moreno Rav Shmuel David Unger Shlita Av Bezin of Nitra. So the Av Bezin of Nitra did an incredible thing. Shalonach v'lo shaket ad shepada b'mamon rav eshlasha shivuim hanal v'yatzu l'chavshi v'lechayut. So what did he do? He found out that they were taken prisoners. And he did not sleep, did not rest, until he redeemed this person and his two daughters. So they could return home. That was the last day of Pesach. You can imagine, she's in her house, crying her eyes out. On the last day of Pesach, the 8th day of Pesach, and all of a sudden the phone rings. Now remember, what's the last day of Pesach? What do we read on the last day of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz? Not on the last day of Pesach, 7th day of Pesach, whatever. What? Seventh day of Pesach is the day of Geula.
Oh, Yom Suf.
Yeah, the Yom Suf is the 7th day of Pesach. It's like, she's lying, she's in her home, crying her eyes out, and the phone rings. What do? Pick up the phone. You know? I mean, somebody picked up the phone. That probably wasn't in her house. Telling her that her husband and her daughters are safe. Yeshuvu lebeitam l'shalom b'li mishal. And they're coming home. It's Yisrael the next day. Ein sorach l'saper mehapu'ula shepa'ala al nefesh ha'isha ha'um l'la hazo tabisura ha'tova l'zo. You can't imagine that, again, the 180 degrees that this poor woman, she was enduring. She was sure she had lost her entire family. And now she's incredible joy. That her husband and her daughters, they emerge from the teeth of the lion. And from that moment, she was waiting with like clamped eyes. She's waiting. When will the father come with the daughters? The next day, she didn't want to wait at home. She couldn't wait at home. She sat in the opening, the entrance of the courtyard. And she with hopeful eyes, she was just waiting for them until that they would come home. And when the moment came that they came and she saw them, parat kol b'chita, a piercing cry of her voice broke through, b'shvichat kol regesh levava lafli, it just shattered any emotion. She couldn't even say any words of thanks to God. Al-goldel hanesh and asala, and the great miracle that happened to her, v'lahem, and to them, mirov ishtabchut v'gshud levava. She just let out a cry. She couldn't say anything. It was just, her heart came out. If you didn't see a mother be reunited with her children after this event, the cry of the mother when she saw her daughters returning to their borders, and the joy of the mother aim habanim smecha. Right, the joy of the mother whose children returned b'shah hazot at that time, lo ra'a miyamav regesh sel simcha. Ad kan mashiyadati mehamu'ura anal sheira b'yameinu. Right, that's the end of the story that I'm going to tell you. Look at footnote 92 if you've got it. Who's the story about? Footnote 92. It says if you look at page 3, Shema says that ira l'machaber sefer b'atzma. That happened to him. That's his wife and his daughters. So he says, you want to know how Eretz Yisrael feels about the Jewish people returning to the land of Israel? She's that mother waiting at the courtyard, waiting at the edge for her children to come home. That's the emotion of Eretz Yisrael, who wants her children to come home. Is desiring and waiting, and will they come? Won't they come? You know, will they survive? Won't they survive? And that cry of joy, the cry of joy that she has when they finally do come home. That's the joy of our mother of the land of Israel. When we will all return to her bosom. After this great, terrible Shevi, this subjugation, we'll call it. Ve'al ha'simcha nifla'a halazo, and this great joy, she'tisrach ha'im habanim. Ritzoni lomar, I mean to say, Eretz Yisrael imanu va'anu ima. And remember we talked about the very beginning, how the Kubalim look at Eretz Yisrael as this like living being. Like he's really giving it the literary term of personification. He's really, that this is a mother, that she wants her children home. She's waiting for us and yearning for us. Al kein karati et sifri v'shem im habanim smecha. That's why I call this Ema Banis Mecha. One gets a sense also. He didn't write the book yet, right? He named the book after this event. I just have the unbelievable strong feeling that he was sure that what saved him was
the book.
Right, his neder. His commitment to write the book. And that this sort of shaped, you know what I'm saying? And who's to argue with him? Like, who's going to say that he's wrong?
Well, no, he does right after he finishes it.
Right after he finishes it, right. You know what I'm saying? Who's how many, you know, the odds, after you get caught, what are the odds of somebody, I mean, obviously he wasn't a nobody, he was an important person. and he was a significant person, and he had friends. And obviously this great friend of his, Rav Shmuel David Unger, the Av Bezin of Mitra, one wonders what happened to him. I didn't do my research. You know, who saved his life. Literally. No question. Like, you know, like we're not, it's almost impossible for us to even imagine what, you know, like literally, like, you know, every single day it was life and death. Another person in prison, you could literally save their life. You go collect the money, you save a life. And nowadays it's like, okay, give the money, don't give the money. You know, get them out of jail or they'll be killed. So, in Manasa. Like, what are the odds? And like, his wife, when she got in, when she heard what happened to them, they were gone. You know? And she got that phone call, and it was just, it was unthinkable. Hashem is a king of all im sifri. So that's what I mean. Hashem should give me the strength to do with my book, Lashiv habanim legvulam ulechek imam, to return children to their gvul, to their borders. Bekuyam bimhera biyameinu amein eim habanim smecha. It should be fulfilled. Eim habanim smecha. V'shana alil etzion bimra abina bimhera biyameinu amein ken yomar Hashem. Sali kakdama shniya. Hey, l'seder. It is the end of the kakdama shniya. Hey, l'seder v'gam ani shemati et na'akat v'nei Yisrael. What is that? V'gam ani shemati et na'akat v'nei Yisrael. V'as korek priti. Va'ira. It's parshat va'ira. Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Yom adihilul ramin rabam shik. Shnat Taf Geshet, Taf Shin Gimel, Alakodesh Po Ir Habira, Budapest. That's in the end of the second introduction. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable. You read that story and you say, we're gonna stop here. I believe we'll cut it a little short today. Like, you read that story and you say to yourself, like, you know, you feel the power of the book. He believed in the book. He believed in the power of Eretz Yisrael. He died as soon as he finished the book. Almost as soon as he finished the book. And his book, I mean, it had an impact on me personally. You know, it has an impact. You know, you never know how it spreads. It's just so important and so critical and so powerful. And he's a tremendous chos, just tremendous chos to return, to bring people back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, moving forward, he's going to get into a much longer discussion, a much longer development of my ideas, connecting the giving of the Torah and the land of Israel. And it gets back into philosophy, and it says Pticha, the opening to the book. But you just don't have to read chapter 1, chapter 2. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. Meaning, he starts going into developing ideas more in depth, and we'll begin that next week. But you can't read the book without both Hakdamot, Hakdama Rishona, especially Hakdama Shniya. Because you get a sense of who the person was that's writing, who his people were, what he was writing about. His willingness to say what he thinks the truth is, which is almost shocking in a sense. Like, he doesn't have anybody, he doesn't care anymore. You know what I'm saying? He'll say what needs to be said. And with that kind of introduction, it's ready to get you going and to listen to what he has to say. Okay, we'll stop here.